Thank you for listening today. I hope you've got a pencil and a piece of paper, or pen and ink, whatever you have, and write down the references as we're giving them to you every Sunday. I appreciate you listening every week, and I would like to urge you to write to me. Maybe you disagree with me and you'd like to let me know about it. I would appreciate hearing from you. If you agree with me, I'd love to hear from you. Whatever your attitude about the Bible class is, would you please write to me? This morning, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 11? In Romans chapter 11, you know, there are people that say they believe the Bible. And I believe they do. They think they do. In fact, I've met many, many people in the past 25 years that I'd say, do you believe the Bible? And they say, well, sure, I believe the Bible. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. And they really meant that. But the reason they said that was because they had never really read it. And they didn't really know that there were some things in there that they didn't believe until they read them. Many times I've had people say to me, yes, I believe the Bible, and I would begin to show them some things, and they would turn around then. They wouldn't say, I don't believe that, but they would reject that. Now, I'm not being a smart aleck with you on Sunday morning here. It is not my aim to be sarcastic. It is not my aim to be critical of you. Now, if you are a wolf in sheep's clothing, then I'd like to strip you of that clothing and make you manifest before everybody so they can see your hypocrisy. If you are one of those that is referred to in Matthew chapter 7 and 2 Peter chapter 2 and on, they're referred to as beasts and they're referred to as dogs and they're referred to as sows and hogs and whatever. If you're one of those false prophets, one of those sheep, those wolves in sheep clothing and whatever, then I wouldn't hesitate a minute to strip you of that beautiful armor that you've got and expose you before all the world that they can see what a hypocrite you are. But if you are a child of God and you believe this Bible and you love the Lord and you want to serve the Lord, then my aim has nothing to do with criticizing you or running you down or ripping you up one side and down the other. My aim, my motive is that all men might see the fellowship of the mystery. That's exactly what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. His desire was to make all men, that's all men without exception of race, creed, color, moral character, whatever they might be, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which had been hid in God from the foundation of the world. And I see that the churches are not striving to do that today. It is my aim that I might teach you the truth, that you might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Why? Because you're going to have to face your works at the judgment seat of Christ someday. There's a day coming when the rapture is going to take place. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead that are in Christ are going to rise first. Then we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, the Bible said. And so shall ever be the Lord. But the Bible said that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And the Bible says that each individual is going to receive for the wrong which they've done. In other words, you that are children of God that have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, from the day you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your works are being put down. The things you say, the things you teach, the places you go, that which you do, all of this is written down. And someday you shall face this at the judgment seat of Christ, and you shall be rewarded based upon your works that stand the fires of judgment at that time. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It behooves every one of us to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Because you might not be ashamed before him at that day. There are those today that are going to stand ashamed. Why? Because of their pride and their haughty spirit, they refused to rightly divide the word. They rejected truth in the word of God due to the fact that the grandmom, the granddaddies, and whatever were in association with some denominational system, and they say if it's right for my grandpa, it's all right for me, and on, without checking it out in the word of God to see what the Bible says about it. Notice in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, Romans 11, verse 11, and may I say that the context is the nation Israel. It's about the nation Israel and their fall. Now, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now the passage is clear. He's saying that if a few Gentiles are being saved around the world through Israel's fall, how much more would Gentiles be saved when Israel comes to her fullness? When is that? Notice in verse 25, Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. You see, Israel is a fallen nation today. God Almighty is not dealing with Israel as a nation today. They've become Lo Am I. Now, I'm amazed at the people that I meet during this time. Some of them are preachers, and I talk to them about the word Lo Am I, and they don't even know that it is in the Bible. They don't know what the word Lo Am I means. They don't know where it is, nothing about it. The word Lo Am I literally means not my people. Israel is now Lo Am I according to Hosea chapter 1. Read Hosea, please. Hosea chapter 1. Lo Am I, not my people, but they shall become the people of God. Now, what I'm interested in is in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, he said that through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. In other words, then, the church, which is the body of Christ, was not ordained. It didn't come about through the rise of Israel. It came about through their fall. Now, anybody that would have an open mind about it could not miss the fact that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is not teaching the church the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is not teaching the Gentiles. Jesus Christ is teaching Israel. Now, as we saw last week in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, the Bible said, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fact is that Jesus Christ came to Israel back here, and the idea is to bring them to repentance, so that through their repentance, their turning to God, then the minister and the burden of carrying the ministry to the Gentiles would be upon them. Remember, we saw that in Exodus chapter 19, God exalted Israel above the Gentiles. Moses went up unto God in Exodus 19, and God said unto him, Moses, go tell my people, tell Israel, if you will obey my covenants and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, the Gentiles that feared God and worked righteousness, that is, they came to God through the nation Israel by blessing Israel. If they blessed Israel, God blessed them. And so when John the Baptist came John the Baptist never came to the Gentiles. John the Baptist never preached repentance unto the Gentiles. John the Baptist preached repentance unto Israel. And that is clear in the Word of God. In fact, hold on to Romans and turn to Luke and look in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7. All right. In Luke 7, verse 27. Luke 7, 27, a reference to John now. Jesus said, "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of it." John the Baptist was sent, based upon Isaiah chapter 40, as a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to Israel, and all Israel went to hear him. And he preached the baptism of repentance for remission of sins, and that is clear in the Bible. So Jesus Christ followed about 6 months later. And Jesus Christ went to John, and he baptized him in the Jordan River. Now, why did he baptize the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn, please, to John. I've had a lot of people that I've talked to that are so terribly confused about this. My brother was a deacon in the Baptist church for many years. In fact, my brother joined the Baptist church when I was a little boy, and had been a member of that church all those years. And about 6-7 years ago, I was visiting in my brother's home. I'd been witnessing to him since I'd been saved. And so on this specific night, in talking to my brother, a deacon in the Baptist church, I said unto my brother, "Why did John baptize the Lord Jesus Christ?" And my brother, the Baptist deacon, said, "John baptized Jesus to wash away his sins." I almost fell out of my chair. Here's my brother that had been a faithful member of that church. He was the clerk of that particular church. That is, he kept the minutes and all this kind of thing. A deacon there, a hard worker in the church. And that man did not know but what Jesus Christ had sins that needed to be washed away. Somebody might say, "But your brother was just ignorant." Hey, my brother had been a member of the Baptist church for many years. What right did my brother have to remain ignorant of the fact that Jesus Christ had no sin? After going to Sunday school and church, training union, and the so-called evangelistic service on Sunday night, and then back on Wednesday night, and visitation on Thursday night, what right did my brother have after all those years not to know that Jesus Christ was the sinless, virgin-born Son of Almighty God? Tell me that. There's something wrong somewhere, folks. Something bad wrong. And there are those of you that are listening to my voice, and if you'd admit it to yourself, you don't really know why John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look and see what the Bible says. In John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Why did John come baptizing with water? To manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. Not to the Gentiles, not to the world, not to the people in Alabama, California, Texas, New York City. He came baptizing that he might manifest Christ to the nation Israel, and that's what God said about it. Verse 32, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, that be the Lord himself, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John baptized Jesus Christ in water to make him manifest to the nation Israel. He was identified with the nation Israel in water baptism. Jesus Christ came to Israel. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Notice something else about him. Turn back, please, to Matthew, and notice in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19, notice verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus saith, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. In other words, in the book of Matthew then, Jesus Christ told a man that if he wanted to be saved, he said, What must I do that I might be saved? What must I do that I might have eternal life? Jesus said, Keep the commandments. That is clear. There is no misunderstanding that. And yet, that is not true in the writings of Paul. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Look in Colossians chapter 2, please. In Colossians chapter 2. And notice in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus Christ told a man over here, keep the commandments, and yet God tells us through Paul over here that we are not only dead to the law, but that the law is dead to us. The law was taken out of the way by the cross, nailed to the cross. But that isn't all. Look in Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, so forth and so on. No doubt about it. Why, in the ministry of Jesus Christ back there, Jesus Christ is not building up the church which is the body of Christ. He's not establishing the church which is the body of Christ. He's calling Israel to repentance. Why? That through the nation Israel, salvation might go throughout the world. But that isn't all. Look back in Matthew 18 again, please. Now, there are those of you that listen to me. You know that you get your doctrine for the church out of the book of Matthew. Why, you get your commission out of Matthew chapter 19, and much of your other doctrine you get out of the book of Matthew. Some of you, you preach out of the book of Matthew Sunday after Sunday, and you preach repentance out of there and such other things. And there's some of you today that are listening to my voice, and you go to a church, and that church claims to believe in the eternal security of the believer. Some of you call it once saved, always saved. And yet, if you establish your doctrine in the book of Matthew, look at the passage, please, in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, these things are unmistakable. You get your doctrine out of the book of Matthew, then why don't you get your doctrine out of Matthew chapter 18? Why don't you get your doctrine out of Matthew 19? Why don't you tell people if they want eternal life to keep the commandments and sell out everything they got? Well, why don't you tell them that? I mean, you get your commission out of Matthew chapter 28. Why don't you claim this? We read last week in Matthew chapter 6 where he said, lay not up treasures on this earth, and so forth and so on. And you know that you've got treasures laid up on this earth. You know that. We read in Matthew 10 where he said to the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said, don't carry gold or silver with you. And you know when you go as an evangelist, and the evangelist comes to your church, that evangelist brings gold and silver, and that isn't all. He flies in there on an airplane, or he drives in there sometime with a Cadillac, or a Lincoln Continental, or whatever. You know it's the fact why you're not obeying these passages. Why don't you open your eyes and see you're not obeying them? Why, to say that you're doing what's in the passage and not doing it is hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, who is he talking to? He's talking to disciples. Go to verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus. Are you a disciple? Well, then look what he told them in verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter life whole from maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter the life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Why, that is unmistakable. You get your doctrine out of the book of Matthew for the church, the body of Christ. Do you refuse to rightly divide the word of truth? Do you get mad at me because I say that the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not to the church, the body of Christ? Well, then what do you do with such passages? You that believe in the eternal security of the believer, you that believe in once saved, always saved, and you preach it all the time, what about the passage? You're just going to try to spiritualize it and do away with it? How about in Matthew 19, he said, sell out that you've got and come follow me. And in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, the believers sold out lock, stock, and barrel, sold everything they had, and the proceeds were laid down at the feet of the apostles. You going to do that? Well, it would be wrong if you did. Why, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he that careth not for his own, and especially of his own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But what are we talking about? We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm trying to show you that Matthew through John is not the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. The doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is in Romans through Philemon. Notice something else. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15. All right, in Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Why, this poor lady is praying to the Lord. There's no doubt about it. This is a prayer, if I ever saw one. And it's an authentic prayer. And it's not in hypocrisy. She has a need. She has a desire. And she comes to him with her need and her desire. She went to the Lord Jesus Christ with her need, went to him with her desire. And look what he did. Verse 23, he answered her not a word. Well, how can I preach that to people today? How can I preach to people today that if you come to Jesus with a need, that he will answer you a word? How can I preach to people today and say, hey, here's a Gentile woman, and she came to Jesus, and he wouldn't answer her, and neither would he you? No, no, folks. There's something wrong here. Now, look at the passage again. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Why, surely John would have compassion. I've heard so much preaching and teaching about, the beloved John, the beloved Apostle John. Why, I get the idea that John was so sweet and so kind and so mellow that he wouldn't hurt a fly. And yet John said, send this woman away. She's crying after her. He had no compassion on this woman. I never did understand anyhow how people always paint this picture of John when the view of the fact that Jesus called him a son of thunder. John and James are called sons of thunder. And when they're going through Samaria, because the Samaritans wouldn't receive them, you know what John said? He said, Lord, would you have us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them as did Elijah? I wouldn't call that too compassionate, would you? I wouldn't call that too gracious, would you? What am I saying unto you? I'm saying unto you that at that time, the Lord wouldn't have anything to do with a Gentile unless that Gentile fitted the program, unless you were an ally with Israel, unless you blessed Israel. Now watch what happened. In verse 24, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are you going to stand there and tell me Jesus was sent to the Gentiles at that time? Then you're lying. If you say that Jesus Christ was sent to Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're lying. You know how I know you're lying? Jesus Christ said, and I've got it out of his own mouth, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And confirming that by another writer, he was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. There is no doubt about it. Then why will you teach that Jesus Christ came to the Gentiles at that time? Why will you teach that salvation for the Gentiles is in the book of Matthew when Jesus himself said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel? And when he said to the apostles, don't go to the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But that isn't all. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. That's what he said. Why, she's classified as a dog. Verse 27, she agreed with him. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto even as thou wilt. In other words, she realized that if she's going to get anything from the Lord, she's got to go through the right channels, and she took her position lower than Israel. Remember we said that God exalted Israel above the Gentiles. I can prove by Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 8 that at that time in the ministry of Jesus, Israel was still exalted above the Gentiles. And for a Gentile to be blessed, that Gentile had to take a position as a dog underneath the table that eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God Almighty fixed it so that you can be saved. You don't have to pray through. You don't have to strive to get to God. Jesus already got to God for you. God Almighty has had mercy on you already by offering his Son on Calvary to die for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next week, good day.